Yeah, just fly everywhere. It's so dry. All of a sudden, after about third hour, peep of a little sun up over the horizon. Laura? Is that you? Laura? Come on, Lord. What are you saying? What are you saying? Come on, Lord. What are you saying? Gotta wait for that sun to come up. Man, when that sun comes up, Brother Jeff, you think, I'll never get in a hurry again, man. Woo, man, God spoke to me, man. Boy, that was glorious. Next day, 3 hours later, Lord, if you ain't going to speak, I got stuff to do. I said, I thought you said you were going to dwell. You were going to wait. You should gather around this place, even in this building. Don't have me up here answering Bible questions so long I kick my shoes off. I get tired of standing. We were willing to dwell. You're going to come back to Bethel. Before you come back, you better think this thought. If you come back to Bethel, are you willing to dwell there? Are you willing to wait until God speaks? Or do you just expect every morning when you open up the tent flap, there's the manna? Go to bed that night, open up the tent flap, there's the manna. Got to be willing to dwell in the right place. I want you to notice this. He says, and I'll try to hurry. He says this. Make there an altar unto me, unto God, that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau, thy brother. He was in trouble. Jacob gets his house up. He says, put away the strange gods that are among you. Before you get back to Bethel, you got to get rid of everything that stands between you and him. The preacher, what's a god? Anything standing between you and him. And let me just say this. I won't make a list of it because my God may not be your God. Egypt, they had hundreds of gods. One for everybody. One for everything. One for every thought. They even had unknown gods. They just wanted to make sure they cover them. Over in Thailand, they got, they say, close to 100,000 different gods. Spirits that they worship. But I'm telling you that before you come back to Bethel, there's preparation that has to be made. First, an introspective look, a gaze on the inside into the mirror of the Word of God and say, God, is there anything between me and thee? And then shut up! Before you ask that question, you better make the commitment that if the Lord says that right there, you better be willing to put it away. So putting away all that stuff makes you spiritual. Putting away what God says is between you and Him makes you spiritual. Might be a reputation. Might be a sport. Don't it irritate the stew out of you when the Lord lets somebody else enjoy a sport and every time you do it, you're under conviction? Don't that bother you? Let somebody else have a new car and you can't have one. You know why? You've got to polish it all the time. You say, why? What's a God to somebody else may not be a God to you, and what's a God to you may not be to somebody else. You better be careful. You better stay in your own lane when you get ready to go back to Bethel. The road's narrow. It ain't no broad path. It's a narrow path. We're talking about an individual relationship with God, a resurrection of our soul, a redoing of our heart so that we can get back on the right path. But it's an individual walk. Not your husband, it's not your wife, it's you and him. He says, you put away the strange gods that are among you. Now, like this part, before you come back to Bethel, he expects something to be done. Now, let's just say theoretically and geographically that this church is Bethel. Let's just say that for the sake of conversation. That means before God's going to speak to you, before you come in that door, you should have already done these steps. You should have already put away the strange gods among you, and you should have already been clean, and you should have already changed your garments. Being clean, he's not talking about on the outside with soap and water. He's talking about cleaning the inner man by the washing of the water of the Word of God. Talking about cleaning up the filthiness of your spirit on the inside and let it work from the inside out. You got a problem with your tongue, ma'am? Problems on the inside. Got a problem with your temper, sir? The problem's on the inside. I can take the Bible and show you in Ephesians chapter 6, if we had time to do it tonight, where those things, or Ephesians chapter 4, where those things can become gods in your life. And they're called bitterness and malice and envy and anger and wrath. And all those things are listed right there, and they're things that come from the inside. You got a problem with your heart. You know why some of you won't make the trip back to Bethel in these next few days? Because those things have become gods, and you ain't turning loose on them because you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. And that's why there's contention in your household. Listen to me, I'm giving you counseling. I'm giving you all the marital counseling you need. A man's heart that's right with God, a woman's heart that's right with God cannot help but be bound together by God. God likes people that love Him. He ain't gonna let you two quarrel. I don't know where that came from. Act like squirrels. Blue squirrel, that's it. He ain't gonna let you two quarrel if both of you are seeking God. Only by pride come to contention. You know where the pride is? I ain't doing it. Honey, the Bible says we ought to shut up! You ain't no preacher! I'm not trying to be a preacher, honey. I'm just trying to get my fellowship right with the Lord, and I'm the weaker vessel. I'm hoping that you're going to lead me in the right direction. You ain't going to like this, but I'm going to say it. Sir, what you see in your wife may be what God sees in you. Utter, diabolical, demonic rebellion. It's another spirit. It's witchcraft! If you keep rebelling against me, she's going to rebel against you. Or it could be the other way around. You think your husband's domineering and think he's controlling and you think he's doing all these things. Maybe that's what God says you are, lady! Maybe God says, hey, if you stop trying to control my hands and untie them and let me do in your life what needs to be done, you might have a little peace. Do it my way instead of your way. I don't care what Frank Sinatra said. He had it his way. He's in hell right now. You go ahead and do it your way. I choose to do it God's way. You say, why? This week I'm going back to Bethel. I'm going back. If you don't want to come, I can't force you to come. I am not going to drive you up the hill to Bethel. But I am going to start moving that way. You want to come? Let's go together. Single file line. You say, who'll be first? You can be first. I don't care. I'll be last. You know, because the last will be first. Selfish motive behind everything. Amen. You got to be clean. Second of all, when he's talking about that, it's clean on the inside. You got to change your garment. Brother Roger, years ago I preached a message at one of them big meetings. And I preached the message out of the same passage. You know the reason I preached this message? Just so I could preach on changing your garment. The whole point of that message was, I'm going to get on everybody that don't dress like I think a Bible believer ought to dress. I mean, I'm going to get on breeches and shorts and mini skirts and bathing suits and everything in the world. Strange, I never hit anything men were wearing. I guess it's always just the women were wicked. But my motive, because I didn't have any sense, and young preachers ain't got no sense. I don't care what you say, young preachers ain't got no sense. And you young preachers that think you have sense, you wait till you get older, you realize you didn't have no sense. The older I get, the less sense I know I had when I was young. I got a little bit of sense now, and it ain't much, but I got a little more than I had 20 years ago. Oh my God, the stuff I did 20 years ago. You know what I pulled out today? For your benefit, of course. I pulled out, do you believe the King James Bible? You know the one I preached over yonder? Where I ripped up the Bible and all that stuff? And I thought, I'm going to preach it! The Lord said, put it away, fool. No, sir, Lord, they want to get skinned. I'm going to skin them. The Lord said, put it away, fool. I said, yes, sir. I'm going to let you get away with that one time, but you ain't getting away with that again. You're here to help them, not to hurt them. Yes, sir, Lord. Wrong motive. He says, change your garments. You're going to come back to Bethel. Brother Paul, you got to come back with the new man leading the way, not the old man. You put off the old man. Here's your garment, the new man. You say, why? Only the new man can have fellowship with God at Bethel. The old man can't be accepted at Bethel. He won't even be let in the house. The old man comes up there to offer a sacrifice at the altar, and the Lord says, shoo, something stinks, get. I want to see the new man when you come to Bethel. I'll save you from that old man. Why haven't you taken him off? He's nailed to the cross with me. He's buried in the grave. Why are you bringing that corpse to Bethel? We got all kinds of ways of sneaking ourselves in there, Christian. We do. Don't we? If we're not going to have the world in our altar, we'll bring ourselves. The Lord says, I don't want nothing to do with you, man. He says, reckon yourselves dead. Why are you bringing the corpse up here? The corpse can't do nothing for me. Bring me the new man. Change the garments. That new man's there. There's a lot of things about him. I won't have time to go into him, but he's forgiven. And he's kind. And he's gracious. And he's merciful. And he's long-suffering. And he's joyful. And he's happy. And he's eternal. That's who God wants to see, and that's who we need to see. We need to change our garments here tonight. We need to stop dragging around this old corpse. Notice he says, let us arise. He influences the people he influenced the wrong way. That must have been hard to do. You know what he had to say? He had to say, honey, I ain't the man you thought I was. Honey, I ain't the husband I should have been. I'm not the father to the kids I should have been. I'm not what I should have been. Now, we're going up to where I was supposed to go a long time ago. He doesn't say, you're going! Better do this with a woman. He says, come on, honey. Come on, baby. Let's go back. Beth, let me show you God I met, Beth. Come on, Beth. Come on, won't you? See, honey, I've been wrong. That old love bug began to stir up that old girl's heart. She said, that's what I fell in love with. That's the one I care about. The one who was willing to admit when he was wrong, who loved me and he cared about me. And now he wants to take me to meet his God. Why, that's why we left Daddy's house. We were supposed to be coming back over here to the land of his forefathers. I'd never met his God before. I'd always worshipped gods in the little chambers. Man, Brother Sammy's pleading with her. You know what he's saying? I've been wrong. I have yet to see a woman so wicked that when a man apologizes, she says, I don't care. You can apologize all day long except for Jezebel. Ahab had enough backbone to say, honey, you want to go against God, that's your business, but I'm going for the God of Israel. You want to be worshiping Baal, your business, I'm headed over here. I wonder either one or two things. Number one, I know he wouldn't have gone to hell. Number two, I wonder what would have happened to Jezebel, because she would have been so surprised that he stood up to her. She wouldn't know what to do. She'd be like, who do you think you're talking to? And flip her out. Men, a lot of times that our wives are the way they are, just a little focus on the family for a second. It's because we're wandering from Dan to Beersheba. We're all over the map. instead of saying, honey, we're headed to heaven, we're going to Bethel, and all I know is God's real, and we're going to act like He's real, and we're going to go wherever He says to go, and I want you to follow me. And she's going, man, He's got His mind made up. I'm going where He's going, because if I'm going where He's going, God's going to hold Him accountable, and God's going to bless me because of Him. You say you believe that? I believe that. Man, the problem ain't your wicked wife. The problem is you. Your wicked heart. The altar should already be full of you. Repenting, saying, Lord, it's me. Remember, the meeting's about you. It's not about each other. It's about you. You're sitting here thinking, I wish so-and-so was here. You're the one that needs a message. Remember the message. Remember the doctrine of the javelin? He says, let us arise and go up to Bethel. Make an altar to God. Here's where I want to get. All that's introduction. Who answered me? The day of my distress. My first Bethel was a 7 years old boy. I was in distress. I thought I was going to die and go to hell. I was scared to death. Before I breathed another breath, I was going to burn. I didn't have enough sense to think God was just going to leave me around for nearly 50 years now. I didn't think I had all that time. Bro John, I thought, man, if I don't take him right now, if I walk out that door, a bus is going to hit me. It was that real to me.
Amen.
So I can't go back there. No, I was 7 years old. That was where I began the relationship with God. But boy, you're going to need some Bethel in your life. You're going to need some time where God speaks to you and God deals with you and God pours a little oil on those wounds and God helps you and loads you up on that donkey and carries you into the house and makes sure that you're taken care of. I remember one time when we were up there in Mount Airy, North Carolina, man, and I was dealing with a bunch of things. I remember the message that the preacher was preaching, and I remember him drawing this woman on this long, windy path going back, and Ruth and all them were saying goodbye to the things that were over here where she was supposed to be, and she was saying goodbye, and they were walking out there into the far country. And I remember tears began pouring down my face, and I remember the Lord got a hold of my wife, and she went to the altar, and I didn't know what in God's name was happening to her, and God was dealing with her, and God was beginning to work on her to prepare her to be ready to follow me when I was going, and they were saying goodbye, and I was crying, and everybody was squalling, and everybody was bored. And God came to me in that old man's church and said, hey, I want to talk to you for just a while to prepare you for the things that are to come.
We need Bethel.
I remember the Bethel when my daddy died. Extra boost of strength, Brother Jerry, to prepare me for the trouble that was coming. You say, was the Bethel in the graveyard? No, it was in a cotton-picking church on the backside of nowhere down somewhere in South Florida. My Bethel became just a little mourner's bench, and I went down there to the front of that place, and I began to weep, and I began to cry, and I began to moan, and I began to say, God, I'm not going to make it, I'm not going to make it. And God said, make this your meeting place with me. I'll meet you in your time of distress. Speak to you right here. It happened to me in the Philippines. It's happened to me in Romania. One of the greatest Bethels in my life happened to me when the Lord said, I want you to come to Bethel, a meeting place with me. I want you to leave that place in the world. Come over here to Bethel where I'm at. Well, I needed an anointing. I needed a pouring out of God's Spirit upon me. I needed some help, man. I mean, I felt all alone. Scared to death. The Lord said, are you distressed? You're troubled? Need Bethel in your life? Turn to Isaiah 61. And I turned over to Isaiah 61 and it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For I have anointed thee to preach the gospel. Man, right there, and so many times since then, I've gone back to that Bethel in my life and said, oh, Lord, I was just checking to make sure I really did meet with you. You really did speak to me. God, I was in real distress, and I was real worried, and I was real concerned, and I thought maybe it was the devil. I was just scared, and you met with me. You ever had times in your life where the Lord has been real, real to you? I'll probably weep when we tear down that little bitty building over here to the side. You say, why? Man, so many times God met with us there. One time we were going through a mess. Man, it was a mess. And I was so tore up, honest to God, I thought it was going to kill me, literally. I remember going in there and going through the motions of prayer meeting. Nearly everybody going out. I went back in. You say, why? The Lord said, I ain't done with you yet. I'm like, okay, Lord, whatever you want. I mean, I was at the end of myself. I could not go on. I mean, man, I'm going to tell you what, I broke just like a dam after a spring rain, buddy. I mean, it just started flooding. I mean, I was squalling from way down deep. It was like there was some ulcerated sore on the inside of my heart, and somebody was playing it like a bow across a violin string. Every time they would stroke it, I couldn't help but squall. Physically, it hurt. I'm laying on that piece of carpet, beginning to squall, beginning to cry. And I was reaching it. I was trying to grab anything. I didn't know a bunch of men had come in there. God got right down there by me. And He said, instead of making this one of those worldly altars, let's make this the place where I met you in your day of distress. Don't you ever forget, you called on me, and I answered you. I care about you, son. I know how it feels. I know you're hurt. He didn't get down there like he did with Joshua that time and say, get up! Thank God. I wasn't as strong as Joshua. I'd have probably said, fine, forget it. He got down there with me. He said, I heard you cry out in your day of trouble. Listen to you. I care. I know you don't think I do. I'm right here. I know you feel alone. You've got so few friends, you can count them on one hand. But you just remember this. This will be an experience that you'll never forget, because in your day of distress, this is where I met you. You know what He says here in the Bible? He says, make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress. A lot of things that happen now, and I'm not going to go into all that stuff. They're found in verses 7 to 15, but let me just say this and I'm going to close. Bethel's a place that God ministers to you, but you got to be willing to go back there. See many Bethels in your life. See many times where we need to be freshly anointed from God. We need to, in other words, we need God to us give more of ourselves to God so the more the Spirit can have a hold of us. I mean, have you ever not just been dry, just dry? Like, man, Lord, if you don't do something, I'm going to die, man. I'm in a desert. I mean, I am dying of thirst. You know what you need? You need the Lord to give you a drink of water. That's what you need. You never been so hungry spiritually that your stomach on the front feel like it's touching your backbone on the back? Brother Jeff, you said when you came here, and Brother John, you said when you came here, and it's a testimony of many of us, When we first started on this long trail, we all were so hungry for God coming out of not only the wilderness of sin, but being in all the places that were like a desert that couldn't feed us and couldn't quench our thirst. And we started toward God because we were hungry. We were thirsting after God. We wanted God even if it meant we had to be free. We didn't care. We were the biggest freaks this side of the Mississippi, man. We didn't care. We wanted God. God saw us through a lot of foolishness. But He did feed us. He did clothe us. He did give us water. Some of you right now are in that same position. I went back in the past several hours today. Every time I've had a Bethel experience where I really was chasing after God, it was simply God doing what's right here in the Bible. Him preparing me and getting me ready for the trouble that was to come. Jacob takes his family up, meets there with God. Everything's going wonderful. Wife's pregnant. Glory to God, man. I'm going to have another youngin'. Man, in the Old Testament, that was considered to be the blessings of God. Hey, man, I'm going to have a youngin'. My wife, of old age, is going to have a youngin'. Guess what happens, Brother Brad? You know the story. God. I looked at that passage today. I bet y'all looked at that thing 50 times. I'm not trying to brag. You know what I got out of that? I got out of that the Lord taking Jacob back to Bethel because he could see out there, you're going to need me. You're going to need to be close to me. You're going to need to be near me. You're going to need to know when that happens that I'm not punishing you. I'm not chastising you. That I'm working all things together for good because you love me. I'm glad we're back in fellowship. So now when you go through that trouble, now you have enabled me to be with you in that time of trouble. I don't know about you, but I know this. My life has had trouble in it since I can remember. It is a fact of life. Now, I've had blessings too. But I remember the trouble more than I remember the blessings. Greatest thing that I realized or that I learned is that it's much better when I have trouble to be in fellowship with the Lord so that I'm not thinking to myself, is God whipping me? Is God punishing me? Is God beating me? Is God mad at me? Is God chasing me? What's God doing to me? It's better to be in fellowship with the Lord so that I can say, okay, Lord, use me. Do what you need to do, Lord, but just don't leave me. I ask you this question tonight. Would it bother you? Or would you even notice if God left? Would you even notice? In the book of Genesis, we know that God came down with that ladder, spoke to that boy. He saw angels ascending and descending from up there in heaven. We know God made a promise to him. We know he anointed that rock with oil. We know he made promises to God and so on and so forth. We know that God did a lot of great things for him in that particular place, right? How could somebody like that get gone? God took you to a place that other people know as Calvary, you should know as Bethel. And that ladder for you to get to heaven was outstretched. Feet above the earth because the earth didn't want him. Hands below heaven because heaven didn't want him. You know why? Because he had our sin on him. You know what he said? I'll manifest myself to you and I'll die in your place so that you can get to where I want to go. I'll be your ladder. Climb over me to get there. If you'll come, you'll come through the hole in my side. I'll take your hands and join them to the hands of my Father. If you'll take me. How could you forget that? How could we get to the point where we forget what Jesus did for us at Calvary? Our first Bethel. Our first time when He met us in distress. How can we go through life and say, man, Jacob, boy, he really had an earth-shaking experience. Yeah, and Jacob still had to keep it by works. We had a heaven-shaking. Jesus Christ left His throne, came down here to die for me. How could we ever get that? Yet, don't we go through life saying, wish I'd have a Bethel experience? And I was going, hey, you don't remember any of the other Bethels in your life. Why don't you come back to the one where me and you first met? You know, the one where you were on the way to hell? The one where you were on the way and I became the barricade that stood between you and the door to hell? You know, the one where I stretched out myself and said, don't go, don't go, don't go. I don't want you to go. I want you to come to heaven. I want you to come to heaven. You can come by me. You got through right here in the hole in my side. Come up through my heart right here. Come on, right here. My heart's not Mary. My heart is me. I'm dying for you. Blood and water out here. Physical birth and spiritual birth right here. It's all right here in me. I'm life. Take me. Take me. Why don't you come back to Bethel? Think about how good God was. Before you started owning the cattle on 1,000 hills and having so many wives, and so many children, and so many things that God blessed you with that you've just forgotten all about God. I think that God has a reason for this meeting. I don't think He's just calling one of us. I think He's calling us as a church for us to start our journey back to Bethel.
Amen.
I think we got to be willing to get clean, get back to holy right, holy living. And righteous living, we got to get out of this deadness that we have in ourselves. We got to say, hey man, I'm headed back home. Bethel, the house of bread. At least 4 or 5 of you said, the bread, bread, the bread, bread. And you said, the bread was there, but you just kind of got used to it. Well, could it be? It's because by the time you get back to it, it's gone stale. See, I know the Lord, buddy, when He sets the table, you know what He does? He says, hot bread comes to you. But you can't be out in the far country expect the bread to be hot by the time you get there. You've got to be prepared. When it comes out of the oven, sets on the table, you're ready to eat. I think we're off to a good start. The testimonies seem to verify that. I think what I'd like to do tonight is just unhitch the wagon and let you think about what's been said. I'm not going to give an invitation. I feel like y'all are grown enough and spiritual enough to understand that God speaks to you, the altar's always open. I don't think we need tonight, at least tonight, to have a pleading for you to come. I do hope and pray that you'll ponder and think heavily upon whether or not you're dwelling at Bethel, or whether or not you need to get back. And if you need to get back, I'll tell you how. All the things that I mentioned in that passage are important, but none as important as if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It ain't in water, it's in blood. Remember back where you first met Him, where He washed you from your sins? That blood still runs. There may be a dry desert all around us, but buddy, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Don't you walk out of here beat down and, man, I'm just no good and I'm rotten. Hey, man, jump in the blood, get a good clean bath and say, thank God the Lord pointed it out to me and take my feet from going the wrong way and turn me around and now I'm headed in the right way. I'm not there yet, but I'm headed in that direction.
Amen.
That's the only thing we want to accomplish the first night. Can't expect to get from way over there to way up there. Remember, he says, arise and go up. Take a little while to climb that mountain. Brother Jerry got up before he sang. You know what he said? No matter how hard the hill is to climb, I'm not going to let it stand between me and Jesus. He didn't pull it off on three. We got a hill ahead of us. It's a church. Brother James, you know what we got to be willing to do? Suck it up. Climb up. Say, Lord, here I come. If I stumble, you help me. If I fall, pick me back up. Lord, I'm clean now. I've confessed it. It's behind me. It's under the blood. I'm moving on. Don't carry that thing on you all week long. Thank God for the cleansing blood. And believe what the Bible says when he says, if you confess it, you'll clean it. So take it and say, thank God for it. We can shout her out by the end of the week.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, boy, I sure thank you for a good first night and a liberty to preach, Lord. Sure thank you for these folks being here tonight. I pray, God, Lord, that you'll be real to all of us this week. Lord, you'll help us as we move back in the right direction and get back to doing the right things and the right kind of living. Lord, I pray that you'll be serious to us and you'll be real to us. And Father, we'll get back to serving you as we ought to. Lord, that we'll stop just riding the pew, Lord, but we'll get involved and do things, Father, that you would have us to do and be pleasing unto thee. Lord, bless these folks that have come from such a far distance and those that are sick, Father, that they've come anyway. I pray, God, you'll bless them for their efforts and do something special for them this week. As long as you wish to continue, Lord, we're here to make a commitment, do our best to stay. Lord, we thank you for the things that have been done, and we pray now, Lord, that you'll continue to meet with us throughout this time period. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. All right.